ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 6, text 42. Same as yesterday. So I'll go through it. I won't do the... I'll make it a bit short. Atava yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam etaddhi durlabhataram loke janma yadidrisham atava yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam etaddhi durlabhataram loke janma yadidrisham. I'm doing the class now. Class is going on now. You can give it later. Translation. Or, if unsuccessful after long practice of yoga, he takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. Purport. Birth in a family of yogis or transcendentalists, those with great wisdom, is praised herein, because the child born in such a family receives a spiritual impetus from the very beginning of his life. It is especially the case in the Acharya or Goswami families. Such families are very learned and devoted by tradition and training, and thus they become spiritual masters. In India there are many such Acharya families, but they have now degenerated due to insufficient education and training. By the grace of the Lord, there are still families that foster transcendentalists generation after generation. It is certainly very fortunate to take birth in such families. Fortunately, both our spiritual master, Om Vishnupad Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, and our humble self had the opportunity to take birth in such families by the grace of the Lord. And both of us were trained in the devotional service of the Lord from the very beginning of our lives. Later on, we met by the order of the transcendental system. Atava yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam etaddhi durlabhataram loke janma yadidrisham. Or if unsuccessful after long practice of yoga, he takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. The fourth chapter of this Bhagavad Gita begins with Krishna describing the transmission of knowledge of yoga within this world. Imam vivasvate yogam proktavana hamavyayam vivasvananave praho manor ikshvakave bravit. He states how he himself imparted this knowledge of yoga. Bhagavad Gita is Brahma Vidya, spiritual knowledge, also known as Yoga Shastra, a shastra concerning yoga. So Krishna spoke this knowledge of yoga first of all to Vivasvan, the sun god, who imparted this knowledge to Manu, who gave it to his son. And then evam parampara praptam imam raja ashayo viduhu. Then this knowledge was passed down in parampara and was known by the Rajarshis. So that Manu passed on the knowledge to Ikshvaku, and it suggests that it came down in family tradition. There are different kinds of parampara. Parampara in the sense of tradition or disciplic succession. One is family tradition. Another is the by initiation. And often these two go on parallel. Here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions about tradition of family tradition, acharya families. Now we know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he strongly criticized the caste Goswamis, who thought that simply by their birthright gave them the right to initiate, to the exclusion of all others. But here Prabhupada is praising or giving the good side of such families. So it's not that they're debarred from initiating or being gurus, rather it's expected that they will do. But when the function of being a guru degrades to be simply a mode of living, it's not a method of actually giving people spiritual benefit, then that is degraded. In society, that people by birth, someone is a potter, someone is a barber, someone is a priest, someone is a thief, according to their family tradition, they're also gurus. Generally, the gurus and priests, often, they're not usually the same. Different kinds of Brahmins. So the guru, they initiate, and people become initiated by them. And they go through all the formalities of respecting the guru. And when he comes to your village, you wash his feet and you feed him. But it just becomes a formality. The life is lost. So, parampara praptam. It was received in this way, but then in course of time, sakala kale neha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. But in the course of long time, it became lost. Simply the formalities were going on. The Acharya family is referred to here. Well, if we take it within the Gaudiya tradition, that would be the Acharya families who come from the descendants of Advaita Acharya, the supposed to be the descendants of Nityananda, actually descendants of his initiates. So there are various family lines. Prabhu Santan means the descendants of Advaita Acharya or the descendants of Advaita Acharya. They became the guru class, and there are others also. Apart from the Nityananda Vansha, the family of Nityananda and Advaita Vansha, there are also the various Paribas descending or families descending from descendants of Gadadha, descendants of his disciples, of Narottam, and in this way there were various family lines. Shamananda line is very prominent in Orissa. So these are family lines which generation after generation, Srila Prabhupada said, they fostered acharyas. They would be trained, a lot of training required to actually be a guru. And we find that many in this, especially in the Goswami families, in the Gaudiya tradition, many of them were highly learned scholars. Nowadays we don't find that. Somehow or other that tradition got broken. Now, of course, it's not only that in such families, great devotees can appear. That was a major point that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he fought against the idea that simply by birth one is to be considered a great devotee. It may be that someone, he gave so much evidence from Shastra, that whole book, Brahmana, O Vaishnav, that is a discussion of how someone can actually be a Brahmana by quality, and how present-day Brahmanas, it's doubtful if they're Brahmanas at all, according to the system of family tradition, because the family line Brahmanas, that's not rejected, that's acceptable. That's someone born in a Brahmana family can be accepted as a Brahmana. It's not that they can't be a Brahmana, and most they would become Brahmanas, but specifically, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out, if the Garbhadhan Sanskar is not performed prior to conception, or if it's not properly performed, then the idea that a child who is worthy to be trained as a Brahmana, a high level soul, will be placed in that womb, it's not going to happen. Of course, all this discussion might be superfluous for most of us here, who we are all the problem that Arjuna was worried about, Varna Sankara. Arjuna was afraid. If we have this battle, the world will be overrun by barbarians like most of us here, by background. Well, there is another method. It's not only that those who are born in Vaishnava families can be Vaishnavas. There is another method that they can be purified by association with Vaishnavas, and that's the most important. Bhaktistu Bhagavad Bhakta Sangena Parijayate. Bhakti comes about by association with devotees. One may be born in a family of devotees, but be deviated from the principle of devotion. Or someone may be born in a family of non-devotees, and by association with devotees, become a devotee. However, birth in a family of devotees is fortunate. Srila Prabhupada points that out in the purport. It's a great fortune to have such a birth. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. Of all the living entities wandering in this universe, one who is fortunate by the mercy of Krishna, Guru and Krishna, can get the seed of devotion. So, one who is very fortunate, he can get that from the beginning of life. That will, generally in such families who are born, they are born because they had some practice of devotion in a previous life. That's what's being discussed in this part of Bhagavad Gita. So those who are now fortunate to have taken to Krishna consciousness, maybe they weren't fortunate by birth, but they've had another birth, real birth of a human being, is to be awakened to Krishna consciousness. That is real birth. Otherwise, the animals, they also get born. So simply to be born is not a great credit. Janmana jayate shudra. By birth, simply by being born as a human, one is on the level of a shudra. That means even if one is born in a Brahmin family, very high-class Brahmin family, as a child, there's no discrimination or proper behavior, intelligence, not developed, there's no training. A child is very egoistic, expects the whole, everything to be done for himself. If there's something he doesn't like, he immediately screams. So he's not developed, so he's called a Shudra. And then Sanskara Bhavedvija, then by Sanskar, Upanayanam Sanskar, coming close, coming within the vision of the Guru, he becomes reformed. Of course, it's not just the process of having a ceremony that makes one into a Dvija, second born. In Brahmin families up to the present day, many of them perform. Actually, it's meant to be not only for Brahmanas, but for Kshatriyas and for Vaishyas also. But only some Brahmana families maintain that. They have a ceremony in which they consider it very important that the boy should have his Upanayanam Samskar, his investment with the sacred thread. But it's meaningless without what's supposed to follow that, which is rigid training, systematic training by a guru. Sanskar means reformatory ceremony. But if there's no, the reformation, it doesn't come by having a thread put on your shoulder and some mantras being chanted. The reformation, it takes time. That is required, the training. So this initiation ceremony is coming up tomorrow. That's supposed to be tomorrow, next day after that. 2 days after now. Parshvadinam. It's easier to say in Sanskrit. We have a word for it. That is supposed to be a new birth. Real birth. Otherwise one gets birth after birth after birth. Whatever birth it is, human or non-human, one is born simply to die. What is there to say about such a... born and died. There's the whole history. There's so many biographies. What is there to say? He's born and he died. In between he did this and he did that, so what? Huh? What does that Lochanda say? Hainonitaija roti nahi bello, Lochan bolesh, she papi elo or gelo. What will you say about such a... someone who has never awakened any feeling for Nityananda Prabhu, Lochanda says, what can you say about him? He's sinful, he was born and he died, that's all. They're not useless life. Simply useless. So this initiation ceremony, it's being given birth to not die, to how to live forever, how to conquer death. It means initiation into a training process. Those who are very fortunate, they can get that from the beginning of life, now. In the Acharya families, that training may be still there to some extent. There are still families who are going on like that. And practically in my experience, I see that the present generation in the Acharya families are more interested in Krishna consciousness than their parents were. By the grace of Srila Prabhupada, their parents seem to... anyway, I don't want to criticize them, but they, in many cases we see they're actually very enlivened by Krishna consciousness. Like I say, it seems more... their parents, it seemed that they seem to be hopeless, that no one's taking interest in all of this. But now the next generation, they're seeing, there's something alive, something's... Krishna consciousness is alive. So they're more interested in that. Anyway, we want to create devotees, create acharyas. So there are two ways of creating devotees. One is by going out and preaching, and the other is by having children and preaching, not just by having children. Just having children doesn't necessarily, it may be devotees, but just as with any child, it's not just that they're born in an acharya family and then all of a sudden they are acharyas. Srila Prabhupada says, in India there are many such acharya families, but they have now degenerated due to insufficient education and training. So many devotee couples come to me with their little children and say, please bless him. They may be a pure devotee. And my usual response is that I say, well, I can give a blessing, but what are you going to do? You have to do, it's not just ding, blessing, and all of a sudden, psh, they become a pure devotee. That's fairy tale stuff. Education and training is required. Even what to speak of having children who are pure devotees, even to have them to be human beings, civilized human beings, requires a lot of work on the path of the on the part of the parents. Once they start to walk and talk and interact with others, gradually have to train them to not be selfish. When they get something, they should share it with others. The whole world is not meant simply for their enjoyment. You have to, so many things you have to teach. Just like in acharya families, they will teach how to sit. And then, what do you mean, how to sit? Sit means you sit, but how to sit properly so that you can hear. How to sit respectfully in front of others. And as people bring their children, they say, please bless him to be a pure devotee. He's groveling all over the floor and with his hand in his mouth, and they're never given any training. Now I see that parents, they don't give their children any training. Even things like, don't put the hand in the mouth. Sit respectfully when you're in the presence of seniors. Don't talk in the presence of seniors unless you're spoken to. Nowadays, there's the idea, all this is repressive to children, giving all them this discipline. They should just be allowed to do whatever they like. But then they don't get any training, even to be human beings. What to speak of being devotees? You see that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he recalls that in his childhood, he took a mango. In his childhood, 5 years old, he took a mango that had not been offered to the family shalagram, Giridhari. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur reproved him that you shouldn't take any food unless it's offered first to the Lord. And he thought, oh, I'm an offender. And he took a vow at that time, never again to eat mangoes, which he did throughout his life. People would offer, and this is the season now for mangoes, and generally considered the best of fruits. If you don't make it back to Godhead, what is that? Prapyapunya kritam lok. You can go to the planets of mango juice. Yeah. Big mangoes fall down and they break and they make... Really? Let's go. Wait a minute. Don't go. Don't go. We have to go back to Godhead, not to the mango juice planet. Sounds attractive, doesn't it? There has to be education and training, because sounds good, but wait a minute. There's a problem there. What's the problem? People are drinking mango juice, but they're not Krishna conscious. And they have to get born again. They have to come back again. So better go directly to Krishna Loka, where you can constantly bathe in the nectar of Krishna consciousness. So the training, education and training is required. It's a big job. It's not a small thing to be a parent. If you want pure devotee children, you're going to have to be pure devotees yourselves. The children, they pick up from what the how the parents act, and what they do, what they say, how they behave. They tend to mimic that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, if I could make Krishna conscious children, then I'd be prepared to have sex 100 times. But he didn't do it at all. He had another method of making devotees. So grihasthas, they have a duty to bring forth children. That's also, Srila Prabhupada used to quote that from Manu, that putrarthe kriyate bharya. One accepts a wife for the sake of having sons. It's particularly said sons, not daughters. Why is that? Putra pinda prayojanam. That's the next line. But Prabhupada didn't usually quote the second line. The putra, the son, is required for offering pinda. Putra means one who saves from hell. That's the literal meaning of the word putra. And the putra, the son, has to offer pinda, rice balls, to the pitris in the Shraddh ceremony to save the forefather, to save the father and previous generations from hell. So this doesn't apply to Vaishnavas, but still Srila Prabhupada would quote that line, one should get married to have children. And as I remember, one devotee told me shortly after I'd been allowed to enter this movement, he told me that he'd been married for some time, he didn't have children. Prabhupada said, where are the children? He said, oh, we didn't have any. Why not? What do you get married for if you don't have children? So Srila Prabhupada was also very concerned that his household of disciples have children, with the idea that they be trained as pure devotees. It should bring forth a new generation of pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada often said he wanted to train a new class of brahmanas. Allen Ginsberg had been to India. Allen Ginsberg, the poet, he'd been to India and he met Prabhupada in America. And when Srila Prabhupada said that he wanted to train these American devotees to be brahmanas, Allen Ginsberg was astonished. He didn't think it was possible. Not only did the brahmanas or anyone else in India think that it was not possible, but even Allen Ginsberg, depraved as he was, he also didn't think it was possible. If you look and see the culture, the high-class behavior, the immersion in Vedic culture of the Brahmana caste in India at that time, there were still many who were following to a large extent. And then you see the hedonistic Western youth. And Prabhupada said, I'll make them Brahmanas. And Allen Ginsberg, he didn't think it was possible. Srila Prabhupada thought it was possible. But that will require, as he mentions here, education and training. People think that just by putting a thread on someone's shoulder, Srila Prabhupada criticized that, just by having a thread which you can purchase in the market for 2 paisa. Nowadays it's probably 10 rupees or 20 rupees. But in other words, it's an insignificant amount of money. And just by putting that on someone's shoulder, the idea that you can make someone a brahmana like that, Srila Prabhupada criticized that idea. In ISKCON, we also shouldn't foster the idea that just you go in the ceremony and then you have a brahmana thread put on and you become a brahmana. But what does it require? It requires much education and training and culture. So if you want to have pure devotees, if you want your children to be pure devotees, you yourself are going to have to be a pure devotee and set a good example and teach them. Still, many parents, they like to teach their children shlokas. That's good. Teach them shlokas from Gita and Bhagavatam. But you also have to teach the philosophy. So many parents come and they have their children, oh, my son or daughter will recite a shloka for you. But up to date, none of them quoted Rishabdev's verses. Nayang deho deha bhajang nilokhe. The parents don't teach verses like that to their children. So they like, the children will chant some verses, but it's more, there's a lot more. So much effort has to go in. And it has to be detached also, because even after all of that, there's no guarantee that your children are going to be devotees. It's a very difficult age. All of this gross, sensual society is all around us. The lure to sense gratification. Even if the grihastha himself is very dedicated to being fully Krishna conscious, the very nature of the society that we interact with is very difficult to be fully Krishna conscious, and it's very difficult in grihastha life not to make some concessions to this whole society. Especially if one is working in a job which most grihasthas, they can't find any other way to support themselves, and you have to mix with materialistic people, and so many adjustments have to be made. You may be required to work very long hours. You have to discuss with your co-workers about work, about the work-related matters, and then they'll be discussing about among themselves about so many nonsense things. It's very difficult, unless one is very strong in one's determination, to be a pure devotee while interacting with this world. And what to speak of children who, that's the nature, janmana jayate shudra. They are born with, not with training. They may, previous life they may have had that culture. But shudra means they're interested in sense gratification. Children are very much like that. So to train them to restrain themselves, not to be very gross. Srila Prabhupada yesterday I quoted, he was born in a very aristocratic family. But in his family, the family culture was to keep prostitutes, high-class prostitutes, not low-class prostitutes. No, high-class prostitutes for high-class people. What does that mean, high-class prostitute? Prostitute by definition is low class, but somehow they think if she can sing and dance and you dress her up with some jewels, it's high class. You pay her a lot of money. So then she becomes high class. But it's all low class. And Srila Prabhupada said, I had immense opportunity to indulge, but he was never interested. That was Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotee. It may not be that your son or daughter is going to be on that level, maybe somewhat exalted. We see that often children, when they're very young, they're born in devotees' families, they like to sing the holy names. They like to imitate their parents offering the arati. But there are many, many tests as they grow up, as they see the other children around them playing with computer games and all the whatever the children do, all kinds of nonsense, sense gratification, fashions. So it's a great challenge to raise pure devotee children in the modern age. To be a pure devotee, one has to have a strong sense of not being attracted to this world and seeing that this world, it's all nonsense. If one thinks that there's something desirable within this world, then he can't be a pure devotee. So the parents themselves have to be on that platform if they're going to have their children be pure devotees. If they themselves are thinking that I have to be very wealthy and have all modern, latest gadgets, I have to maintain my prestige by showing myself to be very wealthy and opulent, as is normal for grihasthas who have some money. There are many who are just very poor and struggling. And there are others who are middle class Indians or middle class people anywhere. They have more money than they need, but not huge amounts of money. And their values go with that, that you have to send your children to such and such a school, expensive school, otherwise you don't keep up the prestige of the family. So many things, these poor people, I say poor people, they're not poor financially, but they're griha mudhadhi, they're very poor in their level of consciousness. These middle class families, all they do practically is, even if it's not for direct gross sense gratification, for prestige, they have to have an expensive car, they have to have an expensive dog, they have to have a house in a good part of town where you have to spend so much money, and they have to spend so much money to send their children to a good school so their children can also work hard and earn money and spend all their life keeping up their prestige. And in this way, the human life is wasted. So if you're going to have pure devotee children, it's not that you have to subject them to poverty and artificial austerities, but they're going to have a sense that what everyone around me is engaged in is all nonsense. This struggle for prestige and get money, and you have to show yourself to be at least as good as others, if not better. This is all a waste of the valuable human life. The energy is being misdirected. Are the parents themselves thinking like that? Are they themselves caught up in this, what is called a rat race? If we ourselves are thinking that I have to advance my career, that's my main object in life, and I'll squeeze in 16 rounds a day, sometimes I'm too busy. We can't be properly devotees unless you can't be a bhakta unless we practice bhakti. It's a simple thing. We may be nominally, but we have to have time in our lives. We have to do sadhana. Without that, how can bhakti develop? It developed. Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Rupa Goswami, you get the bhakti lata beach from Guru and Krishna, but then you have to, you take the seed of the creeper of devotion, you have to water that. What is the water? Shravan Kirtan. One has to regularly nourish. It's a thirsty plant. The bhakti lata, the creeper of devotion, needs a lot of water. The water is hearing and chanting. And there are weeds also. If we allow the weeds to grow, what are the that will swamp the growth of the plant. This is figurative language, but what is that?
Nishidacha kutinati jibe hingshong labha puja pratishta jato upashakagon.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he described some of the prominent weeds which destroy devotional. We may not even notice it. We may be going on with our hearing and chanting. But if we don't nishedacha, if we don't properly follow the regulative principles, if we're diplomatic and duplicitous. Now that's a difficult one, because in family life, Prabhupada writes in one purport, family life is full of diplomatic dealings. So one has to be, and working in a job, one is dealing with non-devotees who don't deal very straightforwardly with each other. If we bring that into devotional service, deal diplomatically with devotees, if we think that we bring the same mentality, now I entered ISKCON, now I'm just at the beginning, but in 5 years I'll be a temple president, and after that I'll be a GBC, and after that I'll be a guru. If we think like that, I have to get some position, show myself, and to get that position I have to elbow my way in and come up, associate, hang around all the big people and make sure that others don't come. Office, politics, consciousness, keep others down, pull myself up, be where the money is, that's where the power is. These gurus, they think they're big people, but they don't know the real power is where the money is. So we respect the gurus, but make sure you're in a position where there's plenty of money being manipulated. Then you'll have the real power. Devotees, they may not even think like this, because they may be very subtle. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns, if we have this diplomatic mentality, then that will, it may grow up. We may be going on with bhakti, but it's not actually bhakti. It's been overtaken by the weeds. Envy of others. There's no question of devotional service. There's envy. Srimad Bhagavatam is open to those who are free of envy. If we're cultivating envy of others, which goes with kutinati, kutniti, crooked behavior, then we can't be properly devotees. And the desire for monetary gain, the desire to be honored, the desire for a position, and it goes on and on and on. All the different ways in which our devotion can be compromised. So if we ourselves are in compromised consciousness, then we can't expect our children to be pure devotees. They'll pick up on what we have. The tendency will be to imbibe that same kind of consciousness. If we ourselves think that to advance in devotional service I have to work very hard to get ahead in my job. Some people think like that. Some people preach like that. You have to have a good career, and that is devotional service. And if you get you work hard like an ass, and then you can tell people you're a devotee, and they'll think, oh, he's got a big position, so I should also be a devotee. And then they also become a devotee, and they also work hard like asses, and they also think that working hard like an ass, and maybe squeezing in 16 rounds a day, and eating from the canteen because you don't have any opportunity to have prasadam, or anyway, it doesn't matter that much, because don't be a fanatic, you don't have to take only Krishna prasadam, that's only for fanatics, and so on and so on and so on. And how are you going to be a pure devotee if you're going to be compromised in so many ways? So first of all, one has to know what pure devotion is. The Shravan Kirtan may be going on, but if it's Shravan Kirtan mixed up with material desires, it's not going to work. It may seem very hard for the grihasthas to hear all things. They say, well, you know, you're a sannyasi, you know how to bring up children, and what a
what a job it is. You can get on our case, but you don't know what it is to bring up children. No, I don't in this lifetime, but I can see what it should be done and what should not be done. That I can see through the eye of Shastras. Sannyasis are supposed to instruct Grihasthas. And if you tell them, well, it doesn't matter whether you eat, you can eat prasadam and then not eat prasadam, then what's the point of telling them that anyway? If you tell them what they're already doing or what they just feel comfortable with, then how are they going to make any advancement? If you just tell them what they like to hear, then how is there going to be any advancement? There has to be commitment. There has to be the endeavor to make advancement. Even though in the Grihastha ashram one is in the only ashram where sense gratification is allowed, but it doesn't mean capitulation to sense gratification. Sense gratification destroys spiritual life. Therefore, the Grihastha ashram is a very dangerous ashram. Actually, the Brahmachari ashram is said to be more dangerous, or sannyas ashram, because it's just a kshurasya dhara, it's just like a razor's edge. If you're not careful when you're shaving, or if the barber's not, you're supposed to be shaved by a barber in traditional culture, then you get cut. So the razor's edge can cut the beard very well, but without proper attention, can cut the throat also, cut the jugular vein and kill one. So in Grihastha ashram, some allowance is there for sense gratification, but not much, actually. If one's actually going to advance in Krishna consciousness, then even in Grihastha life, to have much sense gratification is going to inhibit one's proper growth. People may not like to hear this, but they're supposed to hear it. If you don't hear it, then you don't make proper advancement. How can you? Is it possible? By pouring petrol on the flames with one hand and by pouring water from the other hand, is one going to get a blazing fire? You may say, well, I'm pouring petrol on the fire. You see, I'm doing my chanting and I put tilak on. And see, I'm pouring petrol, but what about the other side? You have to pour from both hands. Maybe in Grihastha life, a little water is inevitable. But it need not be like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as a Vaishnava Grihastha, ideal Vaishnava Grihastha, he's very serious about Krishna consciousness. It's not that he was irresponsible. It's not that he didn't provide for his family members properly, but he was very serious about practicing Krishna consciousness. So he imparted that to his children. Some of them took it seriously, some less so. Two of his sons took up Krishna consciousness as their life. They didn't do anything else. They were gurus, both Bimala Prasada and Lalita Prasada. And at least one of his daughters was very, very serious about Krishna consciousness. He imparted that to his children. He would go to visit the holy places connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here in Mayapur, this is the capital of Gauriya Vaishnavism, at least those who are in the line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they will accept that. But there are so many holy places connected with the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over Bengal, especially West Bengal, especially the part of Bengal that is along the Ganga. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur would take his sons, not his daughters, his sons, to visit these holy places. He would, especially Bimala, would be there acting as his servant, carrying his asan and his books. So in this way, he trained his children in Krishna consciousness. He recounts that previously he was very fond of food, but after taking to Krishna consciousness, he lived. Of course, we say that figuratively, and you could say historically also, he took to Krishna consciousness. But he also, on the advice of Jagannath Das Babaji, he took very seriously Chaturmasya, following austerities. He was very insistent on this, actually. So even in Grihastha life, he was leading a life detached from gross sense gratification. He set that example. So if the Grihasthas want their children to be pure devotees, they're going to have to cultivate that mood. We're going to have to think about it very seriously, that, okay, we want to have children and we want them to be devotees. What are we going to have to do to attract such a child that Krishna will be pleased to send such an exalted soul to our home? What are we going to have to do? Drona and Dhara, who were expansions of Nanda and Yashoda, they performed austerities so that they could have Narayana as their son. So we're going to have to prepare ourselves, have to purify the consciousness. Is Krishna going to send an acharya to your family if you have the TV blaring on all the time, and if your goal of life is to have Krishna consciousness once a week on Sunday and squeeze it in between your working life? Just consider, Krishna will send the kind of children who can be acharyas to such families where they will get the atmosphere to develop that consciousness, to be trained. To be an acharya requires one has to be trained, one has to know shastra, one has to know achar and prachar and vichar. He has to know how to behave as an acharya. He has to know how to preach and how to understand shastra. One has to be trained in shastra. If one is not trained deeply in shastra, how can he be an acharya? Nowadays we're going on like that. Somehow or other, there's, despite Allen Ginsberg's skepticism, the hedonistic youth of the West, some of them have taken the role of acharya, but to Srila Prabhupada said, we want to make a new class of brahmanas. That means that they're going to be very... What is brahmana? Means they're going to be deeply absorbed in shastra, deeply absorbed in bhakti. They don't know anything else. Practically, those who are in that atmosphere, they don't know anything else. What do? The brahmin, they live in the agraharam, the colony around the temple, and they don't go outside. They come home for eating and sleeping, and they may at home also do some puja, some study of shastra, but they go to the temple and there they do again puja or whatever their specific service is. They don't have anything else. They don't know anything else. And children who are raised in that atmosphere, they'll naturally be devotees. So to establish this, what a great task it is to establish that kind of culture. We're going to have to see what that culture is and take it up ourselves. If we're actually going to be Brahmins, it was a very daring thing that Srila Prabhupada did to give Brahminical initiation to people from a different, even not Bhaktisthan Saraswati gave to people of non-Brahmin family. But Prabhupada gave to most fallen by background kind of people. But he wanted to, he said, we want to create a new class of Brahmanas. So we'll have to see what that whole culture is and live it and inculcate it. To be a pure devotee, it's not such a cheap thing. Oh, Maharaj, can you give a blessing that you can be a pure devotee? And then you and go away and give him some chocolates to eat. And it's not going to work. You want him to be a pure devotee, you're going to have to be so much focused. You have to give yourself fully to those children. People think giving to the children means you give them some chocolates and an iPad and let them goof off playing some computer games. You're going to have to give your whole... You're going to have to give what you got from your guru to them. And to take what you get from the guru, that also you have to be so surrendered and dedicated. Parampara, it's not just someone sits down and they listen to something and then when they get old, they speak it to someone else. But it's guru mukha padma vakya chitete koriya aika arna kori homane asho. Srila Prabhupada, he said, how was I successful in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world when so many of my god brothers who had so much more association with my guru, with our guru, they're so austere, sannyasis, and how did it happen to me that I got this benediction? Because he said, if I see only I had full faith in the orders of the guru. So to actually accept what the acharya is saying, and to practice that in our life, then we can give it to others. Otherwise, it may go on as a formality, as in the acharya families, it may go on as a formality. Even a formality of bhakti, that's also good. But to have the life, what is that life? Sevonmukh, the spirit of service. Again, Srila Prabhupada said that the Gaurya Math, they're going on with what they're doing, but Prabhupada said the spirit of service is lacking. Now, what service they were doing? They're doing daily, rising early, doing daily aratis and all this, but the spirit of selfless service. What does it mean to be fully surrendered, fully dedicated? That, if we have, we can give, we can pass on to our children. The children, disciples, again, you have to consider, you may be in the position sooner than you expected of yourself having to be a guru officially and giving initiation. You may say, well, that can't happen to me. Well, it can. It should. Disciples should become a guru. That's the way the parampara goes on. But if it's not to be broken, then one has to actually be a disciple. Sometimes I ask god brothers, come on, you'll be a guru also. I first have to become a disciple. That's a fact. First of all, we have to become a disciple. To be a disciple is not such an easy thing. To actually be a disciple, to be actually one who can live that life and pass it on. Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he mentions himself and his guru in this purport. They didn't come from families of mixed devotees. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of course, his father, if you want to say like that, although he related to him more as a guru, disciple to guru, more than son to father. The son expects so much sense gratificatory service from the father, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati treated his father as disciple to guru. So his father was a very famous pure devotee. And Srila Prabhupada said that his own father was also a pure devotee. Not a famous pure devotee. not a preacher. But his life, Prabhupada said, although he did business for the sake of maintaining the family, his real interest in life was worshipping Krishna. So in that sense, he was a pure devotee. In terms of discrimination, it appears that Srila Prabhupada's father wasn't on the level of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He would invite regularly sadhus to his home, and sadhus would come, and Prabhupada's father would give ganja to the sadhus, because many sadhus, they like ganja. So it appears that Srila Prabhupada's father, although he had that spirit of pure devotion, he himself wasn't trained in discrimination, which Prabhupada got from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada's mother also, we don't have much information of her. Srila Prabhupada didn't speak about her very much. She died when he was young, but he was raised in an atmosphere of devotion. Even when I say that Prabhupada's father didn't have that much discrimination, well, there was later when Prabhupada was living in Allahabad, and he invited some Gauriamat sannyasis to his home, and his father was living with him there because he was old, and Prabhupada was very happy, these sannyasis have come to my home. But his father was actually quite rude to them. And Prabhupada was surprised. Oh, I didn't expect that. And then, but when the sannyasi started to speak, then his father bowed down and begged forgiveness, because he thought they were Ramakrishna Mission sannyasis. He hadn't heard of Gauriamat sannyasi. Sannyasi, Bengali sannyasi, means Ramakrishna Mission. And he didn't like the Ramakrishna Mission. So his father, he seems he didn't have systematic training in Vaishnava philosophy, but he knew enough that the Ramakrishna Mission is bogus. Murgi Mission. Srila Prabhupada apparently wrote a play in Bengali which was published, but it's not been found, but it was quite well known among his godbrothers. He wrote an article, a play, called Murgi Mission. Murgi means chicken. So Ramakrishna Mission, we call it Chicken Mission, because one way they support their mission is by having chicken farms. And sannyasis, they also eat chickens because it's all Brahman. What is that? Anabrahma. All food is spiritual. Something, I don't know. Anyway. Srila Prabhupada's father, Bhaktisiddhanta's father, Saraswati's father, they weren't mixed devotees. Inasmuch as grihasthas, they lived in the world, they worked in the world, they interacted with the world, but they had a very clear conception that human life is meant for Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada's mother wanted Srila Prabhupada to be trained in law, that we can send him to England to be a lawyer. His father overruled her, said, no, we don't want him to go and associate with those mlechas. He'll get spoiled there. He would pray to the sadhus that you bless my son that he may be a pure devotee of Radharani. He had mridanga lessons and harmonium lessons for his son. When Prabhupada was married, he was, I think, 20 years old, and his wife was 11, something like that. But Prabhupada said, I didn't like her very much. There was another girl I wanted to marry. So he thought he'd marry another girl. As he didn't think of divorcing the first one, but he thought, I'll marry another one also. But his father told him, no, it's good you have a wife who you don't like. Because then it'll help you to be more renounced in future. So it'll be good for your spiritual life. So he definitely, Srila Prabhupada's father, inculcated in Srila Prabhupada that even though, all right, you're getting married and this, but human life is meant for Krishna consciousness. Maybe we can speculate, if he'd have known about the Gauriamat, he would have sent him there and not got him married. But there was, what was the alternative? He didn't know of any, who he going to send to get trained in Krishna consciousness. So he trained at home in Krishna consciousness. But he wasn't a mixed devotee. It may be that a great devotee will come in a family of mixed devotees. That can happen. But then he'll reject you, quite likely, because you are asat sangha for him. Just like Shukdev Goswami, he thought, this Vyasadev, he's in Maya. He's writing all these shastras about worshipping different demigods. I don't know. So he didn't come out of the womb. He thought it's better to be in the womb. Then Krishna, on Vyasadev's request, came and said, Shuka, could you come out of the womb? Okay. So he came out. First thing he did, left home. He thought, bad association. My father's bad association. Then when he understood that his father could teach Srimad Bhagavatam, then he came back and got trained. And then again he left. He didn't want to get entangled in family life. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was living at home with his father and uncle, the only son between two brothers, only one son. And they were devotees. They maintained all the brahmanas of that area with their immense wealth. But Raghunath thought, bad association. I'll leave them and go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though they were devotees, his father, Hiranya and Govardhan, Majumda, he said, they are like worms in a pit of stool. We can't imagine in the modern day what a pit of stool is like. I've had experience in this life of seeing pit of stool that people pass into. You can hardly get near it without fainting. In this season, it rots very quickly. They have a hole. All the villages stool in one place. So many flies, and it stinks so bad. And the flies, that means there are many maggots crawling around in it. So if you think, I am this body, you can go and see it and think, that's the body. Yeah. So to be a maggot in that pit of stool, that was what Chaitanya... But they were devotees, but... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm just joking, but... Anyway, they're like maggots in a pit of stool. Just joking. Raghunath, he left. So if you actually get a pure devotee, you pray to Krishna, you have a pure devotee, but you are not cultivating pure devotion. You have a mixed idea of devotion. Then your children may leave you as being asad sangha. They're reading Chaitanya Charita. Asad sangha tyag. Oh, really? Okay, I'm getting out of here. They may not stay at all. What else did I write here? Any more notes? All right. Hare Krishna. Haripada Prabhu. Vaishnava grihastha, is now, after raising children in Krishna consciousness, being strict in Krishna consciousness, being chastised by other grihasthas, struggling to maintain a good standard, is now, children are grown up and he's traveling with the wife, and what he's learned and imbibed over all these years, he's sharing with others. So that's ideal. Can all think like that. You have so much, those of you who are practicing seriously Krishna consciousness in family life, you don't have to stay at home all your life. You don't have to take sannyas also. You can travel with the wife as long as the body is fit. Or even in one place, you can teach. What we've received, we should share with others. It doesn't matter, actually, whether one is sannyasi or grihastha or vanaprastha or whatever. This gift of Krishna consciousness we should share with others. Hare Krishna. Would anyone like to have any questions? Haripada Prabhu, do you want to add anything there? You can give a mic to Haripada Prabhu. Too heavy for him, he left. Oh, he's sitting on the side there.
There is a purport where Prabhupada says to the man, do not remain in the home. Very strong purport, one full page, saying, speaking that the Vedic traditions are guiding us to go back to Godhead, therefore, strongly saying, don't stay in the home. At 50 years, or maybe even earlier, one should be ready to leave the home. Go to the holy places, associate with the devotees there. In this way, perfecting life, rather than just remaining in the home and dying, surrounded by all of his family members on the bed, everyone crying. Don't remain in the home, go out.
Yeah.
Very strong.
Prabhupada often quoted that, didn't he? Pancha shardhvang vadang vrajet. When one goes past 50, go to the forest, become a vanaprastha. Where's that from? Which shastra is that from? Anyone know? Damada? You know where that's from?
Unknown.
So there you go. You're getting it from a grihastha. No, not grihastha. Grihastha. One who's stuck in the home means grihastha. But now he's vanaprastha. In the forest life. He's gone in the forest, the jungles of modern cities to preach Krishna consciousness.
Hitvatmapatam grihamandakukpam vanangato yadharimashrayeta.
Prahlad told Hiranyakashipu, What have you learned? I learned this. That you should, my dear father, you should leave home life, which is like a blind well. You've fallen in that blind well, go to the forest and take full shelter of Krishna. That was his advice.
Guru Maharaj, just a question about Raghunath Das Goswami's parents, father and uncle. Why is it that although they were maintaining all the Vaishnavas and they're presumably, you know, they're Vaishnavas and you're hearing all these instructions, why is it they still remain permanent? Were they still were fixed in this?
You're saying Raghunath and Hiranya, why after hearing so many instructions they were fixed in that way of life? Well, what instructions? Who is instructing them? Which Vaishnavas? Do you have any information about that? Did they hear from Vaishnavas who advised them in such a way?
I'm assuming that.
Well, it may be a wrong assumption. Who is teaching these things? You think the Brahmanas are going to tell them, you just give up all this family life which is full of diplomacy, and then who will maintain them? Shukracharya, he said to Bali Maharaj, what is that? Sarvasvam Vishnave Dattva Murakam Vartishyate Katam. He said, you idiot, if you give everything to Vamana, then how are you going to maintain yourself? But he was thinking, how are you going to maintain me also? The Brahmanas were very happy with him. He was there being maintained. They're not going to tell him, Hitvatma Patam Grihamanda Kupam. They're not going to tell that. Give up family life, fallen in the pit. Who's going to say that? Who's going to teach them that? So I presume it's a wrong assumption that they were being taught that. It's also possible, shunilena shunekan, you hear instructions but it doesn't even get past the ear, what to speak of the heart. That you, as a formality, you hear and okay, he gave a class. All right. Another of those fundamentalist classes. You can put it in a box. Fundamentalist class. Some years ago at Bhaktivedanta Manor outside London, I'd just given a class in the morning. It was the seven habits of highly successful devotees. Because at that time it was the Covey, Stephen Covey madness was sweeping ISKCON. And like all fads and fashions, it's passed away now. So I was in a room and in the corridor I heard someone, female voice, say, oh, Bhakti Vikas Swami just gave a really fundamentalist class. So put it in a box, fundamentalist, strap it up, throw it out of your mind. There you are. You can hear and not hear. Is it okay for devotee kids to go to normal Kami school? Is it okay? It might be okay, but our goal is not to be okay. I'm okay, you're okay. Our goal is to go to Krishna. So it might be okay, they might turn out as okay people. If they're going to be a pure devotee, they're going to have to have association and guidance like that. Is it offensive? It may not be directly offensive, although your children might become offensive to Krishna by hearing all that nonsense. They say, Shastra, that was... You can't believe all these things. Rivers of mango juice. Okay, mother and father believe in that, but I had a good scientific education. So children might become offensive. What about girl children, can we send them to girls' school? Well, Srila Prabhupada's vision for the children of his disciples, if you want to know about it, you can see it's in my book, Mothers and Masters, for more information about this. Is that being sold here or is it banned? It's being sold here. Okay. Not allowed to say what Prabhupada said, if you don't like it. So his vision was that the children, the girl children of our devotees, they would have traditional training at home. The main thing, they have to learn to cook nicely and to become chaste, faithful servant of their husband. Prabhupada said that's the two important things they have to learn. There was a girls' school here in Mayapur, an ambitious venture. The idea was that the girls are not getting trained at home, so we'll train them in the school. Because we're training the boys in the Gurukul, and they have to get married, probably most of them, so they have to have wives who can relate to all of what they've been taught. So girls' education, yeah, they may learn at home, in the home atmosphere, not that they're uneducated. The main thing they have to learn is, Srila Prabhupada said, the main thing they have to learn for boys and girls is Prabhupada's books. That is education. That's the main education for boys and girls. Boys do it in a formal school setting and girls less formally at home. It means they'll also be taught to read and write and all these things. We don't have that culture or system developed much in our ISKCON at the present time. Some of us are working on trying to create that culture. In the meantime, you have children, and it's your responsibility to give them the training by which they can get free from birth and death. Pitana sasyat, Jananina sasyat, Namocha yadyah samupeti mrityam. So you have to do the best you can for your children. What happens later is not in our control. When I said there was a girls' school here, I think there probably still is a girls' school, or they have these co-ed schools, is it? Here? Is it? Yeah, but there was a girls' school that means specifically for training in the things which they would traditionally be taught at home. Many women ask me, you are teaching us about our duties, and what about the duties of men? Yeah, well, men are supposed to teach the men, not women. Also, recently my 100 quarter class, don't stay in the home. After class, some women came, complained that some devotee men feel that this means that they don't have to support their wives and children. Yeah, well, we just got the proper understanding of that from Haripada Prabhu, that at age... quoting Srila Prabhupada, that age 50, the man should be out. And Srila Prabhupada explained all these things. So when the eldest son is old enough to look after the family, then you move on. Of course, there was a whole supporting culture previously, which is not there now. It's a great job to set it up, but we have to start somewhere. Just in that book you lent me, it was written, well, we can hope that in future sometime there will again be Gurukul as Prabhupada. So every generation you can say, we can hope in future sometime there will be Gurukul as Prabhupada wanted. Every generation can go on saying that. Someone at some point in time has to say, okay, well, let's do something about it and make the Gurukul. And it might not be perfect as Prabhupada wanted, but we have to start somewhere. We have to try. Otherwise, never going to happen. In future, in future, in future. In the meantime, people are going to hell. Beginning with our own children. So we have to start somewhere. May not be perfect. Remember the story of Apastamba. His name means water stop. So that name is famous rishi. He was in the forest. That's where rishis hang out, in the forest. He saw some Brahmin was there with all the preparations for the Shraddha ceremony, but the Brahmin looked very disturbed. He brought all the paraphernalia, including a big jug of water. That means he would have had to carry it from a long way. He went in the forest. He wanted to, in the Shraddha ceremony, it's very important that you have to feed the Brahmin, so he thought he'd feed some rishis, very good Brahmins, to get the best benefit for my forefathers. But he looked very disturbed. Apastamba said, why are you looking so disturbed? See, I came here to the forest and I thought I'd have some good rishis, but I see they're not very good. I heard about so many great rishis in the past. They're not up to the level. So I can't do the Shraddha properly. And becoming frustrated, he lifted up the pot of water. He went to throw it out. And the water, naturally, when you throw the water, it comes out of the pot. And Apastamba stopped the water by his yogic power. He stopped the water coming out. And he told him that, well, maybe you can't find a rishi who's on the highest level, but you just go in the rishi's ashram, you find some rishis who are strictly following, at least they're doing that much, and you call them and do the Shraddha. Don't expect that you're going to have every time super maha rishi, topla. Anyway, they're following as best they can. You do the Shraddha with them. Don't stop the Vedic process because it's not super perfect. You have to go on with it. At some level, not to make a fuss of it. If the rishis were, just like in one edition of the Gaudiya magazine, there was a cartoon of two Vaishnavas with big tilak and shika and playing dice. And there was a girl, probably a prostitute, in the background. She was making the pan for them. So they may not be 100% perfect, but they're not bogus. And they're trying the best they can according to their capacity. So it may not be that we can do everything perfectly. And this Kali Yuga is very difficult. But at least we should try to the best of our ability. And that should be recognized also. And they say, well, where's the Guru? I don't see any Guru on the level of Prabhupada. How often in the day of Brahma does a Guru on the level of Prabhupada come in this world anyway? It's unreasonable to say that, you know, I'll only have a Guru who's on the level of Prabhupada. You take the same instructions. If the Guru is following the instructions and teaching you and doing his best to follow, then you can get the same benefit. Otherwise, Bhagavad Gita was only for Arjuna. But it's meant for the whole of human society. Otherwise, it would have stopped. Krishna spoke to Arjuna, Bhaktosi me sakachit, I'm speaking to you, and then someone else may say, well, this person's teaching Bhagavad Gita, he's not on the level of Arjuna. So Krishna wouldn't have spoken Bhagavad Gita to him. But then Arjuna and others spoke it, and the tradition is going on. It may not be on the level of Arjuna, but they have the faith in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, and they're following it, and they can impart it to others. So, at least we have to try. And a good dose of Krishna's mercy for those who try. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te yoga kshemam vahami aham. Krishna helps those who try seriously, even if they're not qualified. Ah, please.
Maharaj, just to make sure it was clear, Prabhupada did also indicate that when the children are grown and if the wife is favorable to Krishna consciousness, the man need not necessarily take sannyasa. Yeah. Wife can greatly travel with us, my baby and I do, and that Prabhupada died is perfectly accepted.
Yeah, but the idea is that there should come a time in one's life when he's not just working, maintaining the family. At some point in life, whether you leave home or stay at home and say, okay, I've done enough of this, I've done my duty for my family, all these things, now my life is meant for Krishna's service. And Vanaprastha also may, if there's some family misunderstanding or something, may adjudicate and this and that. But he's not involved. His life is for Krishna. Now I have to concentrate on this. You others, you young people, you take up this. Now you work hard and maintain the family. After departure of the guru, who will decide who among his disciples can become a guru? Some gurus appoint their disciples, specific disciple or disciples. When Srila Prabhupada was asked about this, who will be the leader after you depart? Srila Prabhupada said, all my disciples, those who follow. Being a guru, there may be some appointment, or it may be just that people approach in that mood. They see someone, here is someone who I can learn from. They come to learn. He may not be officially guru, but as they go on learning, they're in a more formal relation or steady, fixed relationship may be there. Maybe someone sitting at home, daily reading the Bhagavatam. And then some people come and they start to listen. Then they start to inquire, then they say, I want to take up this Krishna consciousness. And he tells them, what do you have to do? You have to be initiated. Can you initiate me? Generally they'll say no at first. No, you go and take initiation. They may do. Or it may be that, I know one case in Bangladesh, one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, he went back to his village in East Bengal. It was very remote. Nowadays there's a road, but in those days you used to go by, first of all, by steamer boat, and then in the narrow rivers where there's no motor boat can go, rowing boat, and then you walk, and then you reach his village. So he's in this remote village, and he was daily reciting, about doing his sadhana, 64 rounds. Some three brothers and one sister from one family, they were interested, they came to him regularly, they started to follow, and he initiated them. There were his four disciples. Who else is going to initiate them? Even if they wanted to take initiation in Gauriya Math, they can't even imagine going to Calcutta or Mayapur. They can't even imagine, they've never even seen a town. They've never even seen a road. So what to speak of going to Calcutta? So they took initiation from him. In other words, it happened what we call organically. It's not that he said, okay, folks, I'm a guru. Come here, whoever wants initiation. It didn't happen like that. So, who becomes a guru? Who Krishna designates? In various ways. It may happen in various ways. Jaha hoite Krishna bhakti shai guru hoi. Who you get bhakti from is a guru. Why can one become a guru only after his guru's departure? That is the etiquette. That's the explanation that Srila Prabhupada gave. The general etiquette that one does not accept worship in the presence of someone who is worshipable by yourself. That is the general etiquette. Why in ISKCON are there gurus when their gurus are present? And why did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accept disciples in the presence of his guru? So generally the etiquette is not to accept disciples in the presence of one's own guru. One may do on the order of one's own guru. It may be. Okay, Hare Krishna. I'm going to finish there. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. One thing. This mala, who wanted to give this to me? I was already... Okay, so please call them. The thing is, I'd already started the class. So let them give it in. Yeah, good idea. You can tell also, in the temple room, they should not offer obeisance to me.
Hare Krishna, all the devotees, they requested that when you're in the temple room and you see Guru Maharaj, please do not offer your obeisances in the temple room. The Guru Maharaj, it's not a proper etiquette.
Hindi anubad ho raha hai ne upar. Huh?
It was going off, but maybe sometimes after class the discourse.